This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Federal public defenders say budget cuts from the sequester could cost taxpayers more than it will save. Lawyers who represent the indigent charged with federal crimes across the country say already they face a tough fight when they head into court against the resources of the Justice Department. And it's only going to get worse if these budget cuts occur as planned next year. As a result of the automatic cuts known as the sequester, federal public defenders' offices have recently been told they must reduce spending by 14% for fiscal year 2014, on top of roughly 9% for this year. The result, lawyers say, will be drastic layoffs for public defenders, expensive case delays, and costly appeals. All for nothing, some say, as pricier private attorneys are expected to fill in the void at the government's expense. Joining me to discuss this situation is Maureen Franco, the federal public defender of the Western District of Texas. Ms. Franco, are you there?
I am.
All right. Thank you for joining us. And we want to hear from our callers. The number to call in, our listeners, 614-8980, 614-8980. Have you or maybe a member of your family relied upon a federal public defender? How did that go? How did it work out for you? Let us know, 614-8980. So the right to counsel is a constitutional guarantee. But that's where you step in. That's where the public defenders, you provide that when people don't have the resources for a lawyer, right?
That's correct. This year marks the 50th anniversary of Gideon versus Wainwright that established that principle that an indigent defendant is entitled to have representation by legal counsel. That's what the Sixth Amendment says. And so we are constitutionally mandated to represent indigent defendants. And approximately 90% of all federal cases that are brought, criminal cases are brought, require a court-appointed lawyer to represent the defendant. And so these are 90% of the cases. And in the Western District of Texas, we do from anywhere to 40 to 80% of that percentage.
So the Western District of Texas, that includes a big chunk of the border, and you have the most cases in the most courts of any district. Is that correct?
That's correct. Us in the Southern District, the Southern District has more cases than we do, but it geographically more or less it's about the same, and certainly the types of cases are the same. Their numbers are a little bit higher than ours, but we're second to them.
So what is the state of the Federal Defender's Office right now?
Well, we absorbed two budget cuts. Our first cut came in February of this year that we were able to absorb because we had always been very conservative, not over-hiring, not staffing up, and had always been very good stewards of the money. In fact, most years we had returned money to Washington at the end of the fiscal year. Once sequestration occurred on March the 1st, we received a second cut, and that's the cut that has created problems for us in this fiscal year and resulted in our every employee, myself included, being furloughed every other week starting on April the 19th. And so we are projecting 12 furlough days of every other Friday that we're out. We're the only court agency within the Western District of Texas that had to suffer this type of result from the sequestration.
These furloughs are causing delays in courts. One of them, a high-profile case, the trial of Osama bin Laden's son-in-law, was delayed because his public defenders had to take a furlough. And in Boston, the lawyers for the surviving marathon bombing suspect had to represent him amid unpaid time off.
That's correct. And our lawyers are doing that throughout the district, too, even though we're on a furlough Friday, as we call it. Many lawyers are still going into work, and other staff people, too, volunteering their time to try to keep up. And if they're not working on that furlough Friday, they're definitely working on Saturday to try to keep up with the cases because we're getting 10 days, if not more, worth of work, and we're required to try to get it done in 9 days. And the courts have been very understanding and have for instance, in El Paso, they don't do criminal matters on Fridays. In Del Rio, the judge has closed the courthouse to any type of business on Fridays, on the Friday that we furlough. So they've been very supportive of us. But it's just a reality that the numbers, the clients keep coming in, and we're not getting the types of resources that we're constitutionally mandated to receive.
Having to close the courts one day out of the week, that, and these courts are already heavily burdened. Federal courts are seeing, drug laws and immigration laws, and these are all very explosive down on the border area where you're representing. I mean, how is that going to work? How is that going to help?
Well, it's not sustainable, and it can't work. It's just going to keep piling up. And at some point in time, we're going to have to start declining representation, which we have done in some limited cases. We've done that because of the expenses were going to be too much for us to be able to continue on the case.
So let me just figure out what that means. When you say decline representation, that doesn't mean that person doesn't get representation, but you're going to tell the judge that you guys are at your max and he's going to have to bring in somebody else.
Yes, he'll have to appoint a lawyer who's on the panel. The Criminal Justice Act panel, each division has a selection of lawyers that can be selected to serve on that case, and they submit a voucher either during the representation or afterwards to get paid from the court. And so once we get to a certain point where we run out of money, we can't do any type of case that's going to require a lot of resources. And just on numbers, if I have to start laying people off or furloughing more, obviously we can't do the type of cases that we've historically done. So far this year, when fiscal year 13 started, obviously in October of last year, we've already represented almost 11,000 people. We're projecting to represent 13,000 people within this fiscal year. And last fiscal year, it was 14,000 representations that we had. So as you can see, we represent a large number of individuals that are charged with crimes throughout the district. And by us not getting the resources, I've been told that I have to anticipate a $3.7 million cut to my budget. And I don't have funds that I can reprogram out of other line items in my budget. It has to come out of personnel and salaries and budgets. And unfortunately, that's what we're looking at if something's not done.
So how big of a budget cut are you looking at for the Western District of Texas?
It's a 23% cut to my budget, which is $3.7 million.
And how many people will you lose? How many lawyers will be gone?
I could lose as few as 25% of my staff to 33%. And right now, being optimistic, as horrible as the situation as this is, I could be losing as many as 10 lawyers throughout the district and 15 staff people. And the staff people we're talking about would be paralegals, investigators, people who are crucial to the work that we do.
So I hear that it's 188 clients, cases per attorney. That's got to explode if these budget cuts go through.
That's correct, and that's our weighted cases. Our raw numbers are over 200, and where weighting comes in is that they try to compare apples to apples. So throughout the United States, it could be that 10 immigration clients might equal one gun case, and okay. I'm not saying that that's the ratio that's being done, but that's what our budgeted caseload was, is 188, and we
got it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Maureen Franco. She's a public defender, talking about cuts to the Federal Public Defender's Office. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about sequester cuts to the Federal Public Defender's Office. We're talking with Maureen Franco. She is the Federal Public Defender for the Western District of Texas. When these sequester cuts force public defenders to ask for delays in cases or withdraws the cases altogether, it means that defendants have to spend more time in pretrial custody, increasing jail costs, raising concerns about the rights to a speedy trial. So this is just has a cascade effect upon the system of justice that we have, and are we going to reduce the quality of the system of justice that we have within the federal courts? Ms. Franco.
Well, I was saying before the break that our case load actually is above the 188 that we're budgeted for. Raw numbers are more in the neighborhood of 200. And so because of the great number of misdemeanor cases that we do in the Del Rio division, at least we did in the past, and also in Alpine. And so all those people need to have a lawyer. And if our office is not able to do it, those costs are going to be shifted to the panel. And historically, that has been shown time and time again that it costs more money for a private lawyer to represent criminal defendants than it is for our office, which has been established to do exactly that and has a track record of having done it very well for many, many years. And so this is a real crisis that is facing federal defenders throughout the country and specifically for us in the Western District.
The number to call is 614-8980 if you want to comment on what's happening. If you've ever had to rely upon a public defender in the federal courts, we want to hear from you. So there are some public defenders across the country who are speaking out. They've released a memo trying to inform Congress that these sequester cuts are going to cost more money than they're actually going to save. Have you joined in that effort?
Absolutely. I'm doing whatever I can to make people in Congress aware of this. Our congressman here in El Paso, which is Beto O'Rourke, I've provided that fact sheet information that you're referring to, and also the letter I provided to our chief judge. And I know that Henry Cuellar, who represents part of San Antonio, through Margie Myers, who's the defender in the Southern District, has educated him and advised him of what we're facing. And so I'm hopeful that we can get Congress to act, and we've also enlisted the help of our judges to help the decision makers in the judiciary to decide to fund the federal public defender offices prior to budgeting for panel payments, so that if there's any money that's deficient in that fund, that they would at least fund our offices fully and then go back to Congress to get more money for the panel, as they are debtors to the United States, and so they would have a legitimate claim to get paid. The reason why this sequestration cut that we received on March 1st has been so devastating for us is because we absorbed 100% of that cut. The panel did not take a cut, either to the rate that they charge, which is $125 an hour for representation. They are perhaps looking at a three-week delay in payment, but a delay means they're still going to get paid, whereas my employees will never see the money that they have lost as a result of the sequestration cut, which it has amounted to a 10% salary cut.
And the prosecutors have not been cut, right?
They have not been cut, and that's a misconception out there, is that somehow I think that they believe other court agencies have shrank, their budgets have shrank, and ours as federal defenders has not. We've grown modestly, but it's been a result of we're trying to keep up with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and we've always been behind them as far as numbers go, as far as budget goes, but we're reactive to what the Department of Justice is doing, and so we're just trying to keep pace with them, and when they're not furloughing and they're not taking these type of cuts, or they're able to absorb the cuts because they can move money to from one office to another, to one program to another, then they just keep rolling out the cases. And I had talked to Mr. Pittman, who's the U.S. Attorney for the Western District, approximately 2 weeks ago, and he doesn't see the prosecutions going down. Quite the contrary, with immigration reform on the horizon, there is a big push to secure our borders. And so obviously they're going to secure the borders by arresting as many people as they can. Those individuals are entitled under our Sixth Amendment to have a lawyer represent them.
The number to
it's
call
going to be us or the panel.
The number to call, 614-8981. Online comment: can she utilize more law students, maybe from St. Mary's Law Outreach Clinics?
We have been. We're always willing to take interns to come help us, but you still need a lawyer that is licensed to go to court and represent them. We can let them do some limited work, but it goes back to the clients deserve to have a licensed attorney, licensed in the state from which they passed the bar, and also licensed within the Western District of Texas to represent them.
So what are who are you representing? Who are the typical people that come and depend upon the Federal Defender's Office?
Well, it could be someone who is trying to come into the United States to work because they have no economic opportunity in Mexico, to someone who was forced to come into the United States because of the violence in Mexico, to Dan Morales, who we represented several years ago. So it could range from the poorest of the poor to someone who had risen to great heights in the state of Texas.
And they're deemed by the courts not to have the resources in order to hire an attorney, and so the
right.
judge says, okay, we'll go to the Federal Public Defender's Office. And your aim is to give them the same quality of defense as if they were able to hire a top-dollar private attorney.
That's absolutely right. I think that everyone's entitled to the best defense possible, and just because you don't have the money to pay for an attorney doesn't mean that the quality should suffer. I would say that the lawyers who are working in our office are known throughout their individual communities as being the best lawyers in town, the best criminal defense lawyers in town, many of which could go out and either hang out a shingle themselves and make a lot more money than they're making for the government, or who could be hired on by bigger firms, but have chosen to sacrifice and do public service because they believe in the mission of our office, which is to represent indigent defendants.
So what does this mean for you being able to attract the next generation of ambitious, wide-eyed, very excited lawyers who want to defend the public?
It makes it very difficult because for a long time, federal employment was seen as very secure, that you could have the opportunity to have great training opportunities and go to national programs, which we have all been able to do. I've been with the office almost 20 years and cannot tell you, it's been invaluable, the training that I've received over the years, because that's been available to us. It gives you the opportunity to specialize and become an expert in this field. And you had pretty much guaranteed employment. If you believed in the mission and you did a good job, it would be very difficult for that person to have left. And we have a very, very closely knit, 109 of us are very close, and it's very closely knit family environment as well. And so it's very difficult to now attract those top scores from law schools to come work for us because there's no guarantee that they're going to have a job come October the 1st.
So what are the waits like currently in federal courts in San Antonio?
The wait times as far as when you could get into court?
Well, as far as, the process.
Well, I mean, the general cases in federal court, it moves a lot quicker than state court. But I would think that, I do know, with the sequestration and the delays that have been built into it, it's now more than 6 months that someone's having to wait to get their case resolved. Whereas before, it was rare that a case would pend that long, that normally it would be resolved much quicker than that. And it varies from division to division, where there's only one judge, for instance, in Del Rio, it's quite a bit longer, and it always has been. And that time delay is only going to increase as she has been forced to shut down the courthouse every other Friday because we've been out. So it has definitely affected the ability to get the work done. And the longer that those people are in, our clients are in custody, then that increases the cost to the Marshal Service because they're the ones who have to pay for them to be housed until they get transferred to the Bureau of Prisons. And so there's no savings in doing this whatsoever. The cost will just continue to go up because people who could get out on bond aren't getting out on bond. People who could get treatment for a drug or alcohol addiction aren't able to get treatment because that funding has been cut. And, of course, they're going to be delayed because their lawyer isn't available every other Friday to represent them.
I'm just wondering if there's a constitutional challenge somewhere in here that people are being denied their right to a speedy trial or even to an effective defense.
Well, I think that is definitely on the horizon. We're barely keeping up as it is right now. And I think that if these cuts go through, there's no doubt in my mind that that will happen, that there will be constitutional challenges to what has happened based upon the sequestration cuts, based upon the delays, based upon people being detained who shouldn't be detained, and on and on and on as it goes. And all the while, there's no let up of prosecution. So that even though there's supposed to be parity between the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Federal Defender's Office and the CJA, there is no parity. If they continue to grow and bring cases, and we are, if our hands are tied, and we're prevented from doing the work that we need to do.
We've seen in the past that when the sequester cuts impacts things like travel, air travel, when we had the cutbacks hitting the air traffic controllers, Congress the next day they show back up in D.C. and they're able to do something about it. If there's a public outcry or if there's some sort of action that demands that they can restore this money.
Well, I believe that that's right, but a lot of the, for instance, the example that you used, the air traffic controllers, it's my understanding that Congress didn't appropriate more money to them. They just allowed them to, as they call it, reprogram. They were able to move funds from projects that they had in the making and were able to shift that to their salaries and benefits so that they could keep people on board. The judiciary is so lean as it is, there's really no money to move it. And that's part of the problem is that we're part of the judiciary, and the judiciary is way, way underfunded when you compare it to the other branches of government, which is the legislative and the executive branch. And that's part of the problem is that there is no fat in our budget to be for the judges to give us some money so that we're able to stay fully funded, or to the panel, or to hire experts and do all the things that we've been able to do. There is no building project out there that Congress could say, okay, you can go ahead and reprogram those funds. It's so lean as it is and such a small percentage of the overall federal budget that there's nowhere to cut. And I think unless it really directly affects somebody, if they have someone who's charged with a crime and they see that the delays are happening, that they're not getting the treatment that they need, that they're not getting their lawyer there when they need their lawyer, then I'm afraid that it's not going to get the same type of attention as legislators who are trying to get home and trying to fly out of national airport.
So we're hearing that these are cuts that are going to cost more than they're going to save, but this is an abstract statement. Are we going to be able to find the aggregate? Are we really going to be able to put dollars and cents on that and be able to take that to Washington and show them the folly of this part of the sequester?
Well, I think so, because it's adding up. Our Chief Judge Beery in San Antonio did an analysis, and he said he wrote a letter to Senator Cornyn and Congressman Conaway that said that if you try to bring it out so that people understand it, he said that for every $1,000 of federal spending, the judicial branch uses $1.89. And of that amount, the Western District of Texas only gets 3 pennies of it. So okay. If you just multiply that.
Sure. Maureen Franco, the federal public defender for Western District of Texas, thank you so much for talking about sequester cuts to your office. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
Reservations are full for tonight's screening of the Oscar Short.